Turning again to the book of Acts and to chapter 20. And our text this morning, although we will look at the rest of the chapter, is from verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. Our title this morning is Watch and Remember. We may have to watch as we walk home this morning in the snow, so we don't slip and slide. But do you watch for your own heart? Well, this is the parting words of the Apostle Paul. As we thought last week, he's gathered together the elders from Ephesus, from the church that he established there in that godless pagan city of Ephesus. And he gathers them together and he started to speak to them. And we've seen the beginning of his message. He's looked back in his life and he's mentioned a number of things. He mentioned about his own humility. That's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? If you mention your own humility, it seems that we're being proud. But Paul, as an example, as a pattern, had the right, the God-given, the Holy Spirit-inspired right to say, look at my life since I became a believer. I've sought to be clothed with humility. Humility in mind. You be the judge. And then he's spoken about his manner of life, the way he lived his life. He's talked about the trials, the tears that he's shed. He's reminded them of the boldness and the fearlessness in which he's taken the gospel to Ephesus, to Corinth, to Athens, and many other cities aside. And then he's told them about the need for balance in the gospel, repentance and faith, Jews and Gentiles. And he's encouraged them to have balanced Christian lives. Well, what would you say if you had a group of friends that you've got to know very well? 5 or 6 years he's known believers through his own ministry. They've come to know the Lord. What would you say to them? This is the last time you're going to see them. Paul is getting on in years. Paul knows he will never see them again. You can see the emotion in his heart. He's called them, they've come. He's told them about his own life. He's commended to them his example. But he's about to leave them. What would you say? Warm, encouraging words, oh yes. But Paul's got a stern message. It's got a cutting edge. They know him so well. They see his heart that he can say to them some sharp words. You can't say that. If you have no respect of the people you're speaking to, if you've offended them again and again and again, you can't come with sharp, piercing words. But Paul could, because he has a heart. He goes to them and he can see that they have a heart for him and he has a heart for them. And so he can say certain things. Well, we have 5 headings this morning. Watch yourselves, that's for me and for you. And then he's speaking to leaders, not just to one pastor. The Church of Jesus Christ has several, many appointed leaders. And they are to watch for the flock that's been put under their authority, their God-given authority. Watch for yourselves, number one. Watch for your flock, number two. What to watch for? What should we watch for? He's going to give us 3 specific things. They won't be easy to listen to. They're sharp warnings, I'm warning you now. And then fourthly, an altogether positive message, feed, nurture the church of God. And then he will close by saying, remember. So those are the five headings in case we get lost this morning. The first one, verse 28, simply these words, take heed, watch. Paul is firm, but he's also fair. He's firm and he's faithful in the message he gives to them. He speaks to them as a friend, as a pastor, as an apostle, as the leading apostle at this time, appointed by God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. The word means guard, watch, take an overview of your own heart. Self-examination. Don't let other people do that first for you. First of all, Paul, elders, church officers, Sunday school teachers, watch. Bible class leaders, watch. Watch for souls. But before you do that, watch for your own soul. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Why do that? We're converted, we're Christians, you might say. You're church leaders. You have to keep watching. Again and again, daily, there needs to be self-examination going on. You see, Paul knows that the old man, Saul, it still lives within Paul. He knows that some of the failings that he did have, they linger within him. Don't believe, I say this again and again, don't believe that there is this higher Christian life that you can live in this life where there's no sin. They call it the triumphant, the victorious Christian life. No, Paul says, watch yourselves. You and I, we're liable to fall. We are vulnerable. We fall every day, every hour of the day, especially when we're not watching. You walk out here today, I don't know how much snow there will be, a centimeter, three. If you've got smooth shoes and you're not watching, you will slip and fall. And in the Christian life, we're just like that. Slip, slide, fall. Don't watch your heart. You'll use your lips to say things that are hurtful. Watch. We heard an expression yesterday. I can't help but repeat it in the ministry that we heard that was so challenging. We have two ears. We have one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak. Listen before you speak. Watch your heart, your motives, your goals, your desires before you even dare open your mouth. Before you say unkind words that offend and they shouldn't offend, words which should not go out of the mouth of a Christian professing believer. Watch, therefore, yourselves. You've got to keep on putting to death the old man that speaks when it shouldn't speak, that has those fleshly desires to look where it shouldn't look, to see what it should not see, to have thoughts that we should not have. Take heed. Oh, isn't this challenging to my life, to your life? This is the words of Paul. He won't see them again. The first thing he says in his message when he's looked away from his own example is, look inside. Take heed. Guard your own heart. Self-examination. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Well, the second heading. Once we've done that, and only once, if we're Christian leaders, mothers in the family, fathers in the family, Sunday school leaders, all the way. If you've got responsibility for one other soul, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all those that you have under your charge. Your three-year-old, are you watching? Are you watching for signs that they don't respect the authority of those that God has put over them? Watch for your flock. This isn't just about pastors. It is. But there wasn't one pastor that came from Ephesus. There was a group. Church leaders, I'm sure. There was a mixed group of people that came to say goodbye to Paul. Take heed for the flock. Those that are under your responsibility. They might be unbelievers. In the workplace, we don't really have a workplace, some of us today. If you're in the hospital, you do. If you're a teacher, mostly you're at home. But if you have people you're responsible for, neighbors, take heed. If you've got the responsibility, if you've got the opportunity to gather lambs, take heed to yourself first. And then watch. Watch for souls. Watch for the opportunity to say something of Christ. To say a word of truth. An observation, not about politics. An observation of God's word. Appropriate for the situation. That's what we want to say. That's what we want to breathe. Take heed. To the flock, those that you have responsibility for, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. You see, God's word is so rich. It applies on so many levels. This is about the pastor, the elders, the deacons, all parts of the church and our work. The application is to all of us. Take heed. The Holy Spirit has given you a responsibility in life. You may not think so. You have a responsibility to your brother, your sister. If you're looking after younger children, a responsibility to the elderly that cannot help. Take heed. Watch yourselves. And then watch for them. Well, thirdly, what are we going to watch for? Watch for hypocrisy. Are you going to teach the children in your family to obey your rule and then you break the speed limit? You turn left when it says don't turn left. You tell the children in your class, obey, honor, come under the rule, the authority that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. Do you think your children will respect you? Do you think they'll listen to your words and follow you as a Sunday school teacher? They'll see hypocrisy, a double standard. He says this 1 minute, he does that the next. Can't be. Shouldn't be. You won't respect me. as a pastor if I'm not walking with the Lord? And you've got every right to come up to me and challenge me and tell me, God's word says, and I should be challenged, and so should you. Let's watch for hypocrisy. And then let's watch whether the Holy Spirit can dwell within the heart. The Holy Spirit does not dwell where there is indwelling sin. I haven't got time to prove it. If there is sin in the heart, if there's sin in the church, there will be no working of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. God doesn't work in the midst of sin. God would dwell in a heart. But if there's hypocrisy, if there's indwelling sin that's not been put to death, expect no blessing. Expect nobody converted in this church if there are problems between people. I don't believe there are. I hope not. But there will be no blessing if we're not watching, if we're not dealing with problems, dealing with any issues, dealing with difficulties. We must be one. We must be reconciled before the Holy Spirit will dwell. This is the word. Take heed. Take heed for yourselves. Take heed for the flock. Watch for hypocrisy. Watch to see if the Holy Spirit can dwell within the heart. You see, we don't want a shepherdless flock. A family where the parents are not fulfilling their function. A brother, a sister that's not being brotherly and sisterly and other-minded. A shepherdless flock, there will be vulnerable sheep. They'll get caught, they'll slip, they'll fall, and worse, they could get damaged. A watchless shepherd. Do you want that? In your family, you're not watching for the world coming in. The world, the flesh, the devil, the enemies that we all have. Are you watching? Watch and take heed. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to your churches, to your families. No shepherdless families, no watchless parents and pastors. We don't like being watched, do we? Nobody likes being watched. But you know, as believers, we should want to be watched by each other. If we know that there are hearts that are genuine, hearts that are sincere, hearts that are spiritual, we won't mind being watched. Oh, yes, I'll open my heart to you. Open my life. Social media has so many problems, but it has some benefits. It's a window to the soul. What do I like? Who do I follow? What do I say? Which politicians do I love? We only love God. We only lift up his word. We only say it's pure and right, and we follow it if it's of good report. Oh no, be careful what you watch, what you follow, what you love. It gives a window to your heart. It shows what your mind is thinking, what your heart is loving. Watch, watch. Watch. Watch for yourselves. Well, Paul gives three. We must move on. What to watch for? Watch for hypocrisy. Watch that the Holy Spirit is working. But then he says here in verse 29, watch for wolves. Savage animals. If you watch those documentaries in the Arctic, David Attenborough is not somebody that recognizes the design of God, that God is the original designer, but he uses all sorts of excuses to explain how the things are that are. Sometimes he shows the wolves, a savage animal in the Arctic, coming in and devouring who they may. Well, here it is, verse 29. I know this, that when I leave you, there will be savage, grievous wolves. The church at Ephesus, it was started in AD 52. This is AD 56, 4 or 5 years old. When I leave, savage wolves will come in. He knows it because he's an apostle. He knows it because this is what happens in churches, in cycles. It happened with the Israelites. It happens in churches every year. Savage wolves will enter in you, among you, and they won't spare the flock. They will come in and do damage. That's from outside. That's the easiest problem to deal with. Stop them coming in. Don't let the world come in. Don't let false prophets come in. Don't let erroneous teaching come in. That's the easier one. But then it goes on to say, verse 30, this is much more difficult. Also of your own selves. It's easy to see a heretic. The prosperity gospel teachers that say, I've only got 3 helicopters, I need a 4th. That's easy to spot. But what of your own selves? Also of your own selves shall men... It often is men. They'll come and speak perverse, strange, wrong things. And they will draw away followers. They'll go and pick on a younger person. And they'll say something. Do you think that's right? What's being taught? They won't go to the teacher, to the preacher, and challenge, but they'll pick off one here. A little lamb. Also of your own selves shall men arise. They'll pick off the 1s and 2s, speaking foolish, perverse, wrong, strange things. They'll draw away dear believers with wrong teaching and say, follow me. It happens in churches all the time. It's happened in this church 30, 40, 50 years ago, so I'm told. Oh, come this way. The worship's much more appealing. Oh, in that church they have this and that. Come to this church. They have coffee and croissants in the middle of the service. We don't want coffee and croissants. We want the Word of God. We don't want to hear fables, stories, tales. We want the Word of God. Don't listen. If there are people that say, come with me, don't listen. Paul is warning Ephesian elders, Ephesian believers, don't be divided. The church would become divided. At Ephesus, they didn't listen. We must listen this morning. Watch for wolves, watch for strange, perverse things. And then thirdly, even before people go away, watch for division. Now there will be people that have different views on quite legitimate things. There will be people that think we should use this technology or that technology. People that think we should put this on the agenda, that on the agenda. That's inevitable. We're human beings. We look at the Word of God and there will be some things some people believe quite credibly. In infant baptism, they're genuine believers. Some people believe you should have the Lord's table every Lord's day. That's fine. Those things are not our conviction here. And that's been delegated to those who the Holy Spirit has made as appointed overseers to feed the church of God. But watch for division. Division gets bigger. It's a crack. It opens up. We try and seal the crack with love, with the Word of God. We try and avoid these problems getting worse. I think they're in the right order. The easiest one is the wolves. The hardest one is the foolish things. And the hardest of all is the little cracks, the small things between two people that can open up if we don't watch. Well, fourthly, feed the flock. We take the order slightly differently. Verse 28, we move to an altogether positive theme. Paul says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, feed the church of God." He describes them as a flock. It's a picture. We're just lambs. None of us are strong animals. We're not lions. We're lambs. We're weak. If the lamb falls upside down, it will die. No child of God will lose their faith. But the point is, we're vulnerable. We're prone to go this way, that way, this fad, that fad, this conviction, that conviction. We're just lambs. Feed the flock. Notice what it says. This is not John Smith's church. This is not Paul Phillips' church. The Church of God. There's a church near here. It's called Christ Church. That's a good name. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not the pastor's church. It's none of our church. It's the Church of God. Why does it say that? Because we should have the highest possible view. This is God's church. Look at what it describes. It's the church of God because He has purchased it. Every single soul that has been saved has been purchased with His own blood. If there was one person saved, and there isn't, there's millions upon millions, I dare say billions, when you think of all the children that did not live beyond birth. And Christ died for every one of them. His shed blood was sufficient for every one of them. His perfect life was given for every one of them, which He purchased. He gave the highest price. In the obedience of His life and of His shed blood. Have the highest possible view of the Church of God. Don't treat it as some club, a group of friends. Don't treat it as some fellowship. It is. This is the Church of God. You guard it, protect it, watch it, care for it, nurture it. You people of Ephesus, when you go back, you have the highest possible view and you protect it. Watch out. Feed the flock. This is the flock of Christ. Now, just a word of warning. I've said this before. When it comes to the family, when it comes to the church, You cannot speak like this every week. If I do, tell me. If you want to be heard, you have to have built up a platform, a reputation, an understanding, a love, a deep respect. And then you can say words like this. Paul had done it. That's why he gave his whole life history in the words up to verse 27. That's why he has the permission. He has the goodwill. He's got stored up in the bank of faith all the positives, all the encouragements in his life. And so he says, watch, be careful, be warned. Let's move to our fifth point. He says this, we've not looked at the rest of the verses, but the theme continues. Remember, verse 31, watch, take heed, and now he says, remember. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. When your parents talk to you, children, when they speak to you with love, don't ignore them. They're talking to you words of truth, of love, from their experience, from the Word of God. Watch, remember, be warned. They want the best for you. As teenagers, they're not limiting and restricting your life, taking away pleasure. They're taking away things that are not good for you. They've experienced these things. They've seen the damage. Watch and remember. Paul goes back to his own experience. Verse 31, 3 years, night and day, I warned you, every one of you, of these things. He goes back, he looks and says, look, I wasn't covetous. I didn't take your gold and silver and your clothing. I didn't take the things from you that I could have done. I could have taken a salary from you. I had a right to do that. I was a minister. But these hands, they made tents so that you knew I was not greedy. I was not covetous. You see the genuineness, the sincerity. That's not what the prosperity gospel teachers say. I have showed you all things that so laboring. Look at my life. Look at my example. So laboring. Now he says, look after the weak, the little lambs. Teach them week after week. Show them the doctrines of the Word of God. Teach them. Show them by your example. Show them these things. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. What did he say? It's much, much more blessed to give and give and give again than it is to receive. Are you a taker? Do you come to the house of God and take week after week? I do my best to prepare. Do you take? Or do you give? Do you give out? Do you make those phone calls? Do you call the children in your class? Do you have concern for the elderly? Do you do everything you can to give, give, give? This is what Paul's saying to church leaders, to Christians. And when he had thus spoken, verse 36, we come to conclusion. When he had thus spoken, he kneels down. He's not finished. He's not just going to run off. He kneels down. He covers everything with prayer. That's good, isn't it? If you do some good thing for the Lord, if you gather together, cover it with prayer. Begin with prayer, end with prayer. He prays with them all. Brother John, will you pray? Timothy, Apollos, will you pray? And then he weeps. His heart's involved. He didn't want their money. He wanted to communicate to them his heart. He wept sore. He wept a lot. This is not crocodile tears put on. He fell on their neck. They fell on his neck. They embraced. They touched one another when you could do such things. Sorrowing most of all for the words he spoke. He's not going to see them again. They said of Robert Murray McShane, he spoke as a dying man to dying men. He spoke as it was his last message, and it was for Paul. When Robert Murray McShane there in Dundee spoke for the final time, he was aged 29, a dying man to dying men. And they won't just listen to the words, they want to go right to the final minute. They accompanied him unto the ship. If you go to Miletus, there's now a big shore. The ship would have been quite some distance away before the water, although it's possible that the whole of the harbour was silted up in the years that followed when Paul spoke to them. You can see it today. You can see it in history. And they went to the ship. They demonstrate their affection for him. They stay to the final minute. Everything he said, they've taken on board. And he will take on board the ship, the affection they had for him. And he departs. I trust this is not my last message. If it was, if it is, take heed, watch, and remember, this is God's word. Take it to heart. Watch your own heart, and only then go and speak to others. But then do go, and do watch for others, and give and give and give again, until you possibly can stop. May the Lord bless us in these things this morning.